off. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the show. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
This is, in fact, the Carolyn and Joe show.
So, Joe, are you getting really hot?
Absolutely not. But this is very wishful thinking. Actually, it's freaking cold outside. Again.
If it's hot, then you get to take off all your clothes.
I know, right? It's one of those things I just look forward to. It's, I'm like, wow, it's hot. I'm going to do it right now.
Unfortunately,
I'm taking my clothes off right now,
we had the blizzard.
Unfortunately. But the show is still going hot, like we usually do it. I hope everyone out there is enjoying themselves. Let's get the promotion done early today so people can find out. What am I going to promote?
What are you going to promote today?
Check out the production blog of the construction of my new feature film.
Help Wanted.
Working title Help Wanted. But it's going to be, go to astrayproductions.com/Help Wanted movie. And yeah, check it out. Tell a friend. Tell everyone. This movie's going to get made, damn it.
And you can invest in it too.
Yes, if you happen to have
a few dollars in your couch.
Yeah, if you have enough to fill the units, the investor units. Please do get off your
lazy ass right now, and lift open your couch. And whatever you have,
no, we're
in there,
gonna need a lot more than that. Sorry,
you can donate.
It's not gonna be taking little.
What if somebody has like $1,200,000 in their?
Then that will fill the investor units, because like it's actually against the law for us to take investors, because for them to be an actual real investor, it can't be a real loss to them. And then how that usually happens for them to invest in a movie is it's built through units, for what I'm told, at least. It's built through units, and these units, you know, you can have them from $45,000 to this and that to be an actual, like, investor. Everyone else is almost like a donator or something like that.
Can't you be a donator?
Yeah, you can be a donator, but it's also like I can't guarantee, you know, it's contractually, I can't, like, say, you're going to get your money back type deal. That's the difference between an investor and a...
Well, people can still donate.
Yeah, you can donate.
You can invest.
I'd love it if you invest. We can definitely, let's talk. If you have that, let's definitely talk. Looking for distribution. So, have a good time. What do you have to promote?
I will promote Sketch Before Sleep tonight. It's, for those of you who don't know, it's my blog that I recently started last month. And it's just a little sketch I do every night on my Wacom tablet, which is something I got brand new as a Christmas gift. And so I'm starting to use that. I've only been on it for a month or so. So every night before I go to bed, I make it a mission to spend some time with it. Sometimes, like, the sketches might only be real quick. Just get it out there and... You know, I'm not looking for the best thing ever, but...
Well, if they are looking...
But they kind of are the best things ever, so go check it out.
Yes, and also if they are looking for, like, full-on illustrations and stuff like that, you also have the Curls webcomic on the curls-studio.com/curls.
Yes.
So you can check out that, which comes out every Monday and Thursday,
yes.
Right? And Help Wanted's blog comes out every Sunday, Wednesday, and Friday, three times a week until a certain time, probably until March, in which we're going to possibly switch over and start doing more video blogs. And that might, you know, that could be interesting. It could be interesting.
But
and
I
actually like the Sketch Before Sleep because I look forward to it every single night. Or every single morning. So people, it happens.
Do you usually check it in the night or the morning? Or the early morning when you haven't gone to sleep yet?
I usually check it at night because I'm still awake at that time. Like, and I'm like, sometimes I like being that, because like even when Dr. Horrible first came out and it was like, oh, it's going to be on Thursday and then Saturday. And like, I was like, I want to be there right when it like launches. You know what I mean? I'm always excited about going to certain websites right when an episode like launches. And, you know, I do check out the Sketch Before Sleep because like I'm actually excited, even though like, you know, I had a big hand in putting that together. I am excited about what to see, even with the curls thing, even though, you know, we work together. I'm excited to see the work that you that you produce. So
the sketch before sleep is kind of cool because I can always say that I created at least one thing every day.
Yeah, and I think that's like, and that's what I read is, or from some philosopher or whatever, some illustrator was like, you got to do what you want to do at least once a day. Whether it's, if you want to be an illustrator, you got to like draw something. It doesn't matter if it's like something in your, a stick figure. If you're a writer, you should be writing your notes, your ideas and stuff all the time. Like, you got to do what you do, or else you're not going to be, you know, fluent in the language of what you're working on.
And I like in Sketch Before Sleep how, like, it's just kind of loose and I just do it.
Yeah, I mean, that's
I don't really overthink it. I just do it.
And I think that's what's, like, interesting about that, too, is it is sort of just loose and it's just like, boom, take that. If it sucks the next day, let's see what I got the next day. Let's see what
I got
the next day.
Are there any, like, that, not to be so negative, but are there any that stick out in your head and you're like, oh, man, that really sucks?
The ones that really sucks, or the ones that I like?
Well, I want to know both. Like, what are the ones that you like, and what are the ones that you're like, oh man, could have done better on that one.
I mean, like, pretty much. I mean, they're not. It's a sketch.
It's
so
not really meant to be.
It's not
like,
finished. You know what I mean? These are get it out there. Let's see what happens. They could be the genius of it. Could be what you produce in that time before you go to bed, and you know what I mean. And that's what could be the awesome thing about that is.
It's like after working the full day, driving and going home and all this other stuff taken care of, it's like the last thing on my mind, and then I just kind of pump it out right before I go to bed.
Yeah, and like so. And again, they're sketches. I mean, it's supposed to build to something, but it's like, bam, it's like, you know, one day you could, instead of working on a computer, you could draw on a napkin and then scan it. There you go. That's what you have.
I've thought about doing stuff like that, like having it not be all Wacom, but I don't know. I kind of just like having it be Wacom for now.
Because it's like, bam, it's right there, you know?
Plus, I just like going on that. You know, I actually had to change. I didn't know this. Maybe I'm silly for not knowing this, but you know the pen nibs?
Yeah.
They actually wear out. Did you know that?
I think I knew that.
Okay, see, I
because they gave, what, they have like a whole
set? So I actually,
if you guys
just,
haven't used, what is it
changed.
A Wacom or is it a Wacom tablet?
I don't know. I call it Wacom, but who knows? You can correct me, but I don't really care.
It's the same thing with manga.
Wacom.
Manga or manga.
And I'll just call it a tablet.
Yeah. I always hate being corrected about the manga or the manga thing. That was just
excuse
me,
it's manga.
I hate that. It's just like,
God, get it right.
At the end of the day, I don't care. I don't really read it. It's awesome for you people who read, for you guys who read manga or manga. But I
just pronounce it however you want.
Yeah, just do whatever you want. Don't correct me. Don't be one of those people that correct
actually,
people.
I do kind of want to know if it's Wacom or Wacom. I think it might
just
be Wacom.
What if you really want to find out? Just go to YouTube and then they go to the tutorial and they have the official people will say it. You know, that's how I find out. I'm like, oh, that's how you say it.
Maybe you should go to that. Isn't there like a dictionary site that pronounces it for you? And then they're
yeah.
like, Wacom.
That's how I. But if that's actually, but I don't think they have that because that's not like part.
It's not
of the,
a real word.
It's not part of the dictionary or something like
should
that.
Should be.
Not like Mantech and stuff like that. That's not gonna be part of the dictionary.
Anyway, but I changed the nib on it yesterday. I found out how to do that because I already wore out one.
Really? How's it go?
Because it like, was, like, when, getting when, all, like... It was getting to the point where I was touching the tablet.
Yeah.
And, like, the point got, like, so much to a sharpened tip...
Uh-huh.
...that it wouldn't even show up of me touching it.
So that's
it
cool.
It became difficult to draw.
But that's actually pretty interesting that, it, like, the Wacom tablet or Wacom tablet or whatever the hell you want to call it is, it wears down like that.
Yeah. And I had to figure out how to change the blade.
Was it pretty,
or
the, was it pretty
I shouldn't
easy?
Call it blade because it's
nib?
Kind of like doing the X-Acto. Like, at first nib? I thought you'd just pull it out, but... comes with this like plastic ring that you clamp down on it and you just pull it out, but I had to look at the manual for it because I didn't realize.
I think that's a pretty good invention. If we were filthy rich, we would get the one that's on the screen, the
Cintiq?
Intuos, the Cintiq.
Is that the high level Cintiq?
I don't know what level it is people want to call it, but you know.
I think that's like the one that Scott Kurtz uses.
I mean, that's basically
so I just,
drawing
in
on
my
the...
head. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess that must be the greatest.
But that's basically drawing on the screen. So it's just like, is that advanced or is it just like more convenient? You know what I mean?
I don't
it's
know
all about convenience
all
these
know
days.
That,
that's
like,
why everyone's fat. It's all
same
about convenience.
Thing with the Sketch Before Sleep whole experiment, though, is like I haven't even touched the surface in a way about it because I haven't like programmed my own brushes. I know you can like program your own brushes and like do this and that and all this fancy like stuff that's just like. Handcrafted in a way, like of how you program it the way you want.
Yeah.
Which I have not even gotten to yet. Like I'm still like on the elementary school level of it.
But see, maybe that's the cool thing about the curls-studio.com/sketch-before-sleep is that, you know, maybe further down the line you'll be able to see your progress when you start changing it up. And like, you know what I mean? You'll because sooner or later, even the style that you're drawing with now, that's where I bet you can experiment with different stuff, right? Different ways of, because like really when I see, the one thing I'd say when looking at Sketch Before Sleep now is that you do a lot of headshots, you know? Maybe you change up the headshots to something else. You know, try a little bit, you know, try to figure out the anatomy of things and work those out. Might not be perfect, but the next day, of course, that could be something that viewers could look at. It's like, oh, look, she's changing it up in this direction.
Yeah. So which ones or you think that, like, are successful entries and then ones that aren't so successful?
I don't know. It's sort of going to date the episode if I list it, actually, right at this point.
Right.
I can't really... The ones I dislike or do like?
Yeah. Do you think there's, like, a good direction of styles that I'm going in that I've already done and ones that, like, you're like, ugh, could have been a little bit better?
Well, I'd like to see where it progresses from here, and then I can give, like, off the radio show or on the radio show, I can give, like, a critique or whatever.
I mean, I'm not necessarily looking for a critique, but is there any that stand out in your mind of, like, that you really like? That
I mean, the Pee-wee ones stand out because I like the contrast. I'm a huge contrast
person.
That was
one of the first ones I did.
But also you did a newer one.
Yeah.
Of, like, the promise ring.
Yeah.
And I thought that was
like
pretty
that
cool.
One?
I mean, I thought those came out pretty awesome. Pretty striking, because also I like it was also sketchy. We never really see you do a lot of sketchy stuff.
Yeah.
And it was cool to see you do that.
Well, also, like, I liked the first Pee-wee one, it was still Pee-wee Herman, not Paul Rubens. And then but you know, I just did one recently of Betty Page.
Yeah.
And that one I colored in like everything. I didn't leave much white at all. And I felt like that was unsuccessful.
The Betty Page one?
Yeah.
There's no... What do you mean no white?
Like, I just colored it in, like, too much. It wasn't, like, as sketchy, and I was, like... I was more, like... I guess maybe in that day, I was, like, more, like, connect the dots, la, la, la. Yeah. I don't know. I was more, like, I must connect everything and, like, not have any white showing through and not having it be, like, as messy. And so, I don't know. I just felt like that whole... like episode of that day just didn't really seem so great, and I kind of want to redo Betty Page eventually in the future.
I think, why don't you just go ahead and try to do a Betty Page again? I mean, you know what I mean? Because that's actually what's going to be interesting about seeing that, because you can name it like Betty Page 2, Betty Page 3, and then people will be like, oh, look, it's getting better. Because I think that maybe that's what people...
I don't think the other one was, like, bad. I mean, it was what it was. I know I can do better.
I mean, but that's also what people can look forward to, is, like, getting better. You know what I mean?
But with everything, I feel like I know I can do better, even if I think it's good.
No, but you can say that about anything, but it's actually like you get to see you get better. You know what I mean? No matter what, because like I know I've talked to some people, and like you can't, like there's a lot of people that I've talked to where I would comment on their work, and they would never be able to take that comment properly because they're always like, of course I can always get better, or I suck, I'm always going to suck. But, you know, isn't that part of being a student, is always saying you're not going to ever get better? Well, it's like, it's almost like when people say that, it's like a defensive thing, so they can't take it.
Mm-hmm.
They just say, like, of course I suck, I know I suck. When it's just like, just do it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just take what I said and whatever. But I went off topic.
The other thing about, like, the Sketch Before Sleep, though, like, now I look at it, some of it, I guess, is okay, but
just
some
go ahead
it,
and try another Betty Page,
like,
one day, you know?
But some of it, I don't even know if I would ever actually really show somebody, but yet I'm putting it on the internet for all the world to see.
No, that's the best thing, but also they can page through changes, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So would you say the Betty Page one that wasn't...
Like, it's not bad, but I just colored it in too much. Like, there was no white space, and it's all sketchy.
Actually, but I think that's the one thing...
It's just a different type of style, I guess, in a way.
Like,
for
me...
Some people might like it more.
For me, when I look at your artwork, like, specifically, like, when I see, like, the strengths of your artwork, I like it when it's sketchy outside the inside. Like... Because, like, when you start shading, like, inside cross-hatching-wise, I don't think that's where your strengths are. Your strengths are...
When it's outside the line?
When it's sort of... Because you already know the interior shape. Like, that's what I liked about the Pee-wee. The inside of the Pee-wee was simple, you know?
Mm.
Like, that was simple, but outside was where it became sketchy.
Yeah.
The fusion of that would be pretty cool. I don't know if that makes any sense. But sometimes, like, that's the same thing with me, is that, like, I always have a tendency for my illustrations to ruin it inside. Like, I have the form and everything, but then I just fuck it up because... I'm like, I got the shading wrong or something like that. When like at the end of the day, it's like, why did I even try to shade it? It's like, maybe I shouldn't have tried to overly shade it and just get whatever the form is. And you see that like a lot, like when, you know, you like, you're looking at that Fallout Boy comic, you know, then and like, and you're like, this artwork is so awesome. But if you look at the way they shaded that Fallout Boy comic, like it wasn't like cross hatching. It was just like,
it's just a like gradient.
It wasn't a gradient. It was just like a cutout. Like this is where the tones are going to be. You know what I mean? And like, you know, that's a way that you can go at it. But that's how people, if they look at Sketch Before Sleep, they can check out your progress. I say go have at it. But the thing that I was like, when I was looking at the Betty Page thing, I was like, it would have been awesome if you went and did like more of a body shot, you know? Because that's what I'm looking for.
I'm stuck on that because
the sketchiness looks awesome.
It started out
with
like the headshots, and then like now I kind of, I don't know, like I'm not against breaking away from that, but I feel like I've already done a whole collection, so I'm like, man, maybe this can be a series of just like straight up head.
Well, at least I'm saying that's what I'd look forward to is when you do like when you do like anatomy poses and stuff like that. Like seeing that in sketchiness is cool. Like I really dig that. Because sooner or later it's gonna get streamlined anyway, but to see the form like sketchy is really awesome. At least to me. Like to me, I'm always like, that's it, man. I'm not even gonna ink that shit. It's finished.
Because also, like, I might also consider, if I like a few of them, doing, like, some prints and see how that goes at the conventions this fall.
It was also pretty cool because, you did one, because we saw the, on Valentine's Day, we saw the Pontanis, and you have, like, a series of the world-famous Pontanis. You had, like, Angie, and it was cool because you Twittered it to Angie, and Angie, like, liked it and retweeted it back.
Yeah.
So I think that's a cool thing. But another one that I did like, I also liked is you did Joseph
Gordon. How do you pronounce his last name?
Levitt, is it?
Levitt.
Yeah, like that. I thought like the way you did that one was cool. Like I like that. You know what I mean? Because it seems simple.
Yeah, he was like all white on a blue background.
Yeah, like that. I think it's
and just his hair was really colored.
Yeah, like to me, I thought that was a cool new direction. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that could be a way to go. But it was cool because then
I felt like that worked with him though too. Sometimes I like think about like their personalities and figure out what to do for the background and stuff.
Maybe that's the key way to go. Then if you fuse that with like poses, you know what I mean? Poses where the fun is where the animation comes into play of the bodies. So basically, yeah, so we saw the Pontanis. What'd you think of the Pontanis? Fourth year, Birchmere. Burlesque Padres.
Burlesque Pades.
I know.
Do they? Is it Burlesque looks, Padres?
It always looks like. Pades? But it always looks like Padres to like because Spanishness.
Maybe it
and
is
the,
Padres.
No, no.
Does it mean so, friends?
Spanish. But
they're like, oh, what's up, Padre? What's up, Holmes?
The Burlesque Pades.
Yes.
Tell people about the show who haven't seen it, who should tune in, but go the
everyone
check
should
it out.
Tune in to this show.
To this channel.
Well, Burlesque Pades.
Well, Gina.
Gina. Burlesque Pades is a show that happens every Valentine's Day at the Birchmere in Virginia. And it's really awesome, and it's so much fun. And Joe and I have been going every year since 2006, I think, right? Six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
For 4 years.
No, 5 years.
I thought this was our fourth year.
2006? Did we go in 2006?
Well, it's 2010 now, so...
2006, 2007, 2008, 2009, 2010. That's five. Six, seven, eight, nine, ten.
I don't know.
Anyway, we've been going for
it
the past...
Like, feels like four.
Going for the past 5 years, actually. And it's a good show because... When
wait,
I first,
but I remember thinking it was our third year last year.
No, it's been five.
Oh well, doesn't matter.
Anyway,
go on.
Wait, six, seven.
Don't, just whatever, just go on.
No, I'm right. It's five.
I don't care. It doesn't matter if you're okay. Right or not. No, whoever's right is actually
really,
wrong.
It really doesn't matter.
Whoever America, whoever's right is wrong. To tell you the truth, whoever's right is wrong. If they're like I'm right, you're wrong. Just say it out loud.
Anyway, so It's this wonderful burlesque day of goodness, and it's really great because each year they bring different performers, and most of them are based out of New York, so it's interesting to see them. But I remember the first year going.
Well, let's bring it back then. Well, how did you actually find out about the burlesque pades?
Well, like a year prior to, I was always taking the metro into DC, and they had this free paper that's, it's the Washington Post, but it's like the Washington Post Lite, and it's called Express, and they give it for free for everybody that just commutes in via metro. And I was reading in there, and they had like an article, and they also have the, or it could have been in the Washington Examiner too, because that's another free paper that commuters get. Anyway, I was reading in there, and they had this article about Trixie Little, and she's a burlesque performer out of Baltimore, Maryland. And I was like, wow, this girl's cool. And it had like a picture of her like posing like a superhero with her muscles, and like, you know, at that time she had like this whole superhero motif going on.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, this girl's cool. But I don't think I went that year, so I don't know. She was performing somewhere, and I kept mental note of her, and I think I did keep that article for the longest time. I could still have it, but I know it, I did like rip it out and keep it. But I thought that that was pretty cool, and like, you know, my brain was engraved with like her head and her title, you know, it's Trixie Little and the Evil Hate Monkey. So I was like, oh, I gotta keep an eye out for them.
Yeah.
So then like I guess then a year rolled by, and it said that she was performing at Burlescapades. And so I was like, oh, wow, like, that's really close by. That's, like, really close by. I got to check that out.
Yeah. Well, I mean, were you into burlesque before that? Or was this sort of like, oh, this image looks really cool. I need to check it out.
Well, like, I heard of the name before. And, like, I heard of the name burlesque, but I didn't really know what it was. Like, I thought it was, like, a showgirl thing and, like, girls dancing and stuff.
Yeah.
I guess it was, like, I didn't really know exactly what it was, but I knew, like, I could like it, you know?
Yeah.
So then, like, I heard about the Valentine's Day show coming up, so I was like, I should go to that. And, like, at first I remember, like, talking to my coworker about it, and I was like, I don't know, I'm kind of, like, afraid to go, because, like, I didn't really know what I was getting into, and, like...
Well, what were you,
and
also, what at were that you time, expecting, though, like...
Because it has, like, a feeling of, like, it could be, like, stripper or something, like...
Well, in a sense, like, burlesque not... has that, the clothes coming off aspect,
yeah, like,
of it.
Yeah, and, like, I'm not really, I don't really, like, see naked people
speaking
like
of
that.
Angie...
Yeah, I don't really see naked people like...
Sorry, there's an image on the desktop.
I don't really see people, like, naked all the time, you know, obviously. So, like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know if we should, like, pay to see girls take their clothes off. I was like, I don't know, but it seems,
but
like,
then,
really
but the
cool.
But then you're like, you see this, what was her name? The
Trixie Little?
You see Trixie Little, but then you mix it, you're like, wait a minute, so is Trixie Little getting naked? Is that how, when you're looking at it, it's like, is this just this big... stripping thing happening?
Yeah, like, I wasn't quite so sure what I was really got into. Like, I had no idea. But I looked up the performers online, and I was like, oh, the Pontani sisters. I was like, they look like fun.
Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. I might as well try it. I was like, just sitting in an audience. I'm not gonna, like, put money in their panties or anything. Like,
yeah.
I was like, I don't know what this is all about. Like, I really had no clue. So I just kind of went, and... I, like, really, really enjoyed it, and I really like that world.
Well, let's stretch the story out even further a little bit than that. But when you first went in there, you know, because it's at the Birchmere, of course they can't have, like, right? I've never been to the Birchmere before, but the Birchmere is known for what? It's located in is it Alexandria?
Actually,
or is it...
we were at the Birchmere for that Tracy Byrd concert. I won free tickets from...
Yeah, that's true. So we were there before. So, like, looking at that... The Birchmere is what? Describe what the Birchmere is for people who don't know. It's located where?
It's in Alexandria, Virginia. It's one of those rare places that you actually go to, like, listen to music and not just, like, hang out and look cool and be on a scene.
And it's, like, actually, like, a major location. Like, it's actually, like, it's a major venue. But it's, like, right behind, like,
like a KFC or something.
No, no, is it, like, what's the auto place? The
AutoZone?
Yeah, it's right behind the whatever. It's behind a car audio place, which is, you know, surprising.
I mean, it's
surprising,
not really, like, you know,
but it is a venue. It's a legitimate venue.
Yeah. And,
with major artists go there. So you tie that in together.
I think people go there, like, to actually listen to music. It's like,
because
maybe,
like, acoustic, like, break, like, you know, like, broken down music too, right?
Yeah, it's, like, really esteemed musicians are there, not just people, like, Nelly or something. I don't think Nelly would ever perform there. I don't know. But we'll see. Maybe he will one day. Or Cisco.
But that's the thing. Is like that's what I liked about the Birchmere. It's more of a stripped down, like, almost unplugged. Because it's not like, they don't play metal like that. This is a place
and
where...
And also, another key word is intimate. Like, there's not... that I don't know how many people can fit in there, but it's not that many. It's not like some huge Nokia Live.
Yeah.
It's not like, I don't know, it's not like MCI Center or whatever they call it nowadays. Is it still called MCI Center?
No, it's like the Verizon Center.
Oh, it's not like the Verizon Center or the Staples Center or whatever you want to call it.
But basically, so you're the Birchmere and you saw this poster and you're like, well, it doesn't really make total sense to have just
like a strip
a stripping a touring stripping act happen, you know, at, in the Birchmere of
but
all
also,
places.
But also, like, you know, I don't really go to those type of shows. I had no idea what to expect the first time.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I don't want to, like, just be up in front and see, like, people grinding and, like,
but then,
like, I don't know, like,
but then
I, don't,
when you actually...
I don't know if it was, like, I didn't want, like, I got this overtone of, like, being, like, overly sexual, like, to the perverted point. But I, it's
what,
not
burlesque or
like just me not knowing what it was exactly.
Oh, so your expectations to it, you're
like I didn't think it would be full on perverted, but like,
well, everything's perverted, really. Come
but
on,
like, you don't
Disney's
really,
perverted,
but you don't really know like exactly what to expect. But once you go to a burlesque show, you'll
well,
understand.
What was your experience on this? I mean, I was there, but I want people want to hear the story from you. No one wants to hear me talk about. But when it first started to happen, like.
Well, I think the girls are just, like, really glamorous, first of all, and, like...
So it's more of a glamour style of teasing. It's teasing.
It's teasing.
It's the like, strip tease, actually.
But I don't even think that, like, their stripping even, like, affects any of it for me. Like, I'm not there to really see, like, their boobies at all.
You like the dance aspect of
yeah,
it?
Like
the performance aspect?
Like, they dance and they perform and they have really cool outfits. And even sometimes they make their own outfits or, like, alter an outfit so
yeah.
it fits a performance. And I like it from, like, that artistic point of view. I'm not, like, really there to, like, see boobs.
Now, I've been...
Because in my head, I'm like, I could see that in my mirror, like, in the morning.
Yeah.
I'll be like, hey,
and I can, like,
boobies.
Go to any website. And also, like, you know, I've been in a strip club, and I've seen the Pontanis and burlesque acts before. And it's, like, a lot of, there's more, like, from the percentage I've seen, I can guarantee you there's more skill involved in what the Pontanis do. Then probably most likely in the strip clubs. Because I've been to some strip clubs where you're up there and you're like, this girl doesn't know what the fuck she's doing, man. She's just acting slutty. You know what I mean? She's like on her knees and just showing her ass and just like wiggling it slow and lifting her leg and then like in front of a dude. And dude's just like, I guess I should give you a dollar because you're doing this. You might as well not. But then like I feel like I get my money's worth for watching Pontanis when it's actually, you know, there's skill and there's a show. You know what I mean? I like the extravaganza of it too.
And also, like, I mean, they
and it
they
doesn't
have music.
Feel to me it doesn't feel dirty, which is cool that it's.
But you
it's,
know,
it's,
some
it's,
people
it's,
think
it's
of
real
it as...
sexy. It's actual. To me, there's one where it's like slutty sexy, and there's one that's actually real sexy. You know.
Yeah, and they have this other performer that performs with them named Peekaboo Point.
And not some character that's named like Pink Clit either, it's just like Peekaboo Point.
Like Peekaboo Point.
And they're like almost cartoony, right?
She can like do this crazy thing with her boobs, like she has like her pasties that have tassels on her nipples and she just like rotates her boobs. I have no idea how to like physically or like whatever verbally explain
this.
But they
become like almost like helicopter... like propellers.
Yeah, her like the way she moves her, she arches her back like really arched, like super arched all the way back, and then she can like spin around her boobies.
Yeah,
and
basically she's just spinning her boobs. Like if you go to you know, you look on YouTube and you Google that, people are doing that, but this is when it's a skill and an art form, you know.
Yeah, like she's really fast.
But also like she. That's what I like. There's
you
a dance.
You think she's like known as being like the fastest?
I don't. I mean, probably. For my money, I think she is. But that's also what I find is really cool about the burlesque show is that like, I do like the performance. Like, this is, you know, this is one segment. This one is like a dance. This is, you know what I mean? Like, I forget what the technical word is called. But whenever like the this one section of the show. Well, there's not whatever one of the dance steps. I don't know. I'm breaking it down, but that's what I like about it too. Instead of just bumping and grinding,
and
which
then,
has like nothing, you know, nothing to it. But it's funny. I bet they make more money, which is the sad part.
Yeah, that is kind of sad. And even like Helen Pontani can do like tap dancing too.
Yeah, like they actually have like skills.
They're real dancers. I don't know, like, I don't know how I feel about strippers, because it's like, hey, if that's what you want to do, if that's how you want to make your living.
Yeah.
But then also, you know, you're talking about, it's kind of sad that they make more money. But at the same time, it's like, strippers probably make more money than we do. And it's like, is that sad, too? Like, we probably work harder. You know, just because, like, what if I were to, like, go to a strip club and just, like, take off my clothes and make whatever $500 or more a night, you know, like, would it really be worth it?
Well, also, I think the best way that you can measure if it's really worth it or not, like, you know, after you get all that money is when you look in the mirror and you're like, well, this is what I do, so I take my clothes off and basically just give away everything for $5 per person. You know what I mean? It's just, it's like, is that really what it's worth? I don't know. It could be.
But if they want to do that, I don't think I have, like, the heart to do that.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, like, it's a personal thing. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you can go out there and work your ass off and you know, and shake it. And, you know, it's awesome if some girls really would love doing, not against it. But there are people out there where it's like, well, I don't really want to do that. It's like me. It's like, well, I don't want to do that job anymore. You know, it's like,
yeah,
well, it's
like,
you can easily get a job. I don't know if easily, but you can get a job at Target or Walmart, and then you can be like, cool, I'm getting money. But then you look yourself in the morning every day and you're like, well, I guess this is what I do.
But if you want to be, like, a full-time stripper and, like, really take pride in it and be like, I'm going to be the best stripper ever, and, like, you're so into it, you know? And, like, to the point where you're performing at high-level clubs and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Or, like, VIP rooms and, like, you know, you're performing for, like, I don't know, Jay-Z or something.
As long as it's,
and Beyonce
as long
or something.
As it's not, like, an act of desperation, you
No,
mean?
But you know if you're, like, you know you're going to be, like, the greatest stripper ever and you're, like, super into it and you have a goal. Like, that's cool, but if you're just doing it for money, like, which I'm assuming most of them are... Like, I just feel like it's, in a way, like, I'm like, good for you, you're making more money than me, but then I'm still like, is it kind of sad, like, this not necessarily those people, but just, like, the world in general, that those people can make $500 a night, whereas, like, the normal person probably makes $500 a week.
But also, you think about, if you can think about it like that, it's like, well, what are they going to do with just stripping?
Make money.
No, but
pay
then,
for college.
But then what?
Then they got college paid quick.
Then what?
After that,
they keep stripping.
Do you
or?
Think they're always gonna be? No, then they probably get their degree, and then they're like, "I'm a doctor now."
Oh yeah, they're a doctor now. I mean, like at the end of the day,
they're all like, "I'm PhD."
I mean, at the end of the day, I can't really knock on someone. I'm not gonna be knocking people who strip because, well, some people might really love stripping, and then
that's
doing,
what I was saying. If they want to be like the best stripper in the world, then that's
no, but,
cool.
What I'm saying is like, well, all I can base it on is, you know. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But when I'm comparing stripping to burlesque, there's like, I love the artistry for a preference over burr. I love, you know, just going to the show. Like, I like a show. You know what I mean? I like a show.
But
you go to the strip club and the show is more like it's like just going to the club.
It's not really organized, though. It's just a girl dancing around.
Yeah.
Do you think she really has her moves, like, down and she planned that? Probably not. I mean, with burlesque, I admire that it's, like, everything is just really planned out. And not.
And there's
it doesn't have to be
super comedy. There's characters.
Out,
there's a band. I mean, there's people smiling. You know what I mean? Like, there's just moments that, like...
But that's why you can't call burlesque stripping. And a lot of people do. And then they're just like, isn't that, like... The more artistic way of, like, dance that is, like, basically stripping.
Well, even though...
I don't think it's the same thing.
But Dita Von Teese, like, she... I think there's some shows where she's went nude. So, like, that's stripping. But then she's doing it burlesque style. But also... But then not the... But Pontani's don't go to nude. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like... I guess there's that fine line of... This is where the art is. And this is where, like, the yard sale. You know, the yard sale artwork to the fine artwork. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then when you went to the show, really, what were your thoughts when you first were there? Like I forget what the show was for the first burlesquepades, but was it fun? That was did Trixie Little like live up to I mean her act, and was Angie and the sisters like really cool? Like what were your because they're like sort of like a you know, like the Leggettes, like a go-go act. I mean, like they have that sort of like not wholesome. I don't know how to describe it. How would you describe the Pontanis, like their act in general?
Well, it's kind of like a little bit Vegas, a little bit Jersey Shore.
Jersey Shore?
Yeah, like a little bit, not full on, like, but it's like the good part of it, and then like some Coney Island fun with glamour.
So this sort of has that classical taste.
It has like it's too. Really classy, but it also has like a wink, you know,
almost like the girls that would hang around like take part in like a Frank Sinatra show or something, you know, like.
Yeah, but they have like a little wink to it, you know. It's not just like, oh my god, I'm slutty, you know, like.
But they're not.
You know,
they don't say they're slutty.
No. It's that's what I'm saying. It's not like that. Like when you see other girls just like taking off their clothes, like you'll see like their like mouths open and they're just like, oh, wanna f you, you know, like it's just like that type of like look that's like all skanky and stuff.
Well, but there's a good sultriness to it too.
But with like the Pontiani sisters and Angie and Helen and. All of them, they're just like, they have a smile and like a wink, and then they're just like, we're sexy, but we're gonna tease you instead. We're not gonna like be slutty.
But it's also interesting because there's a segment during the show where three people get pulled up and they have like a dance off to the show that we just went to. And the host, I forgot the name of the host.
Albert Cadabra
was like, he almost described the format of the dance. You know what I mean? Like there's the presentation and there's the movements and then there's like that the big reveal at the end.
The presentation, the tease and the reveal.
Yeah, it is almost like it's structured like a magic trick or like a story with the prestige at the end. You know what I mean? So that's one thing because stripping is not like that. Stripping is just like kaplow. Kaplow, shake it in your face. But this one, it's like there's a proper build. It's almost storytelling. It's almost like body storytelling in a way, you know?
Yeah, in a way, yeah.
And it reaches like a climax at the end with like, boom, there's the boobs. You know what I mean? There's the boobs. There's the ass. And like that's fun because like pretty much just like any competition, the fun is about getting to the journey. So that's what burlesque is. It's the proper build up. It's a storytelling device.
Do you ever get upset about people who just say like, oh, this isn't that, like stripping?
Well, I get upset about a lot of people actually because there's a lot of idiots out there. People were just like, they just do comics or you make movies. Can you shoot my wedding? It's like that's those things that annoys me a lot. You know what I mean? When they don't understand really.
Yeah. I guess you can't worry about it after a while.
So it's everything. It's like, oh, can you shoot my wedding? Oh, do this. Oh, yeah, shoot. You know what I mean? Like, oh,
can you shoot my kid's soccer
practice? Yeah, can you shoot my? It's like that. I'm a filmmaker. I make commercials. I do this for a living. I do it for real. That's what I'm saying.
For real, not for fake.
And I think my level, you know, my production level is above that. But if you're my friend, I can do it. Like a real friend, not just like some dude that just.
I'm friends with you on MySpace.
But you've never met me before.
Can you film my wedding?
No. I'll film your bachelor party.
Can you film my bachelor party?
Yeah!
We're gonna go to a strip club for my bachelor party.
Yeah, so I mean, people in general always annoy me with that, where they're just like, oh, even with, like, we're drawing. Oh, can you draw me this thing? It's like... You know what I mean? There's just those moments where it's just like they don't understand. They just don't understand, sir.
You just don't understand.
But then again, you were talking about like how like, well, if someone can just easily just take off their clothes or just have sex and get paid lots of money, why don't they just do that? What's the reason why someone wouldn't do that?
If they have any dignity.
So it's really down. It's like, if you have any self-respect, you wouldn't.
Well, some people, like, just don't care. Like, maybe they have, like, a different perspective about sex, and they just, like, really don't care who they have sex with. And, like, after going to Las Vegas again, it's like, you see these buses drive around with, like, girls, like, practically naked on the bus, and it says, like, hot girls delivered direct to you.
That was one of the most hilarious things I saw. Like, it's like a bit, like, basically
like a moving
billboard in the streets that says,
bus.
Like, girls to your room in 30 minutes or something
or
like
less.
That. Or less. Like it was a hot pizza.
Yeah, it was like a pizza delivery. And I'm like, so, really? Like, if I was a girl doing that? And also, keep in mind, like, who are these people that are ordering the girls?
Yeah.
You know, it's like, do you really just want to, like, open the door of a hotel room and see, like, this guy sitting there and you're like, oh, I have to do this dude?
But here's
like, do you, like really, like just look around at average people that you just see walking around on the street, in the metro, anywhere you are. I mean, imagine if you were a hooker and you had to have sex with any guy that just called you.
That's what I always wondered. Like, say like you have like an actress like Megan Fox, right, who's like absolutely just like almost threateningly hot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
What if her movie career went down and she had to like succumb to like just prostitution? Is that really what happens? It's like, well, I got nothing else to do, I might as well be a stripper or something like that. Is that,
I don't know if she would do that, but you know,
well, how do you know? Because what has she done? You know what I mean?
Transformers.
Is that really all the, she's done Transformers 1 and 2 and then Jennifer's Body. Is that it?
Pretty much, I think. She's probably done one other thing or something.
And then the Teenage Confessions.
Done. Brian Austin Green.
But like, that's what I'm saying is like, is that what the stripping usually comes down to?
Well,
you get all that money, but then it's like, well, if you're like, I might as well take off my clothes.
Well, like, I guess maybe their mindset is that they just are beyond it. Like, they don't value, like, real relationships, maybe. Like, maybe they, and also maybe they have some type of psychological, for lack of a better word, problem, and they just feel like they, like, they're beyond it. Like, they're just like, well, I guess, like, I don't really have, you know, maybe they've been destroyed by people or men, and they just don't really have anything that they're waiting for, and then they're just like...
I remember listening on Howard Stern, whenever he does talk to, like, a porn star or a stripper, there's always something wrong, like, they're abused, and they're just like, I'm used to all this.
Yeah, they're like, I already had sex with my dad, but so I might as well have sex with any other guy.
But then I guess there's that, like, the Sasha Grey types, they're just like, I actually grew up wanting to do this. I wanted to be a porn star. So it's like, in this day and
maybe
age...
Maybe they're just, like, overly sexual.
Yeah, I guess, like, in this day and age, it could go both ways. You know, there you have the people who are like, no, I wanted to strip my whole life. And then there's like, well, now I have to strip to make that. So there's really no... It's
maybe
like really a big gray area.
Maybe
girls
out there
now
that really, really like sex.
Yeah, I mean,
but then,
just
like,
people
if you get
there,
to like, the Sasha Grey level, it's like maybe she at this point can like choose who she wants to have sex with. But like, but can I've seen like honestly some hideous men. Like, just okay, take a look at your average day tomorrow when or the next day that you listen to the show, or you know,
just walk around wherever you are.
Just walk around wherever you are. Go to the grocery store. Go to the mall. On the subway.
Are you really, are you gonna break it down and ask
Seriously,
America
no,
how the average person
just,
looks like?
You know, just walk by and notice people and ask yourself, would I have sex with this person? But like, but seriously, you would not walk by
are you
guys,
talking to the girls out there in America?
But if you're a guy, think about it from a girl perspective. Ask yourself, I'm Megan Fox. Would I have sex with this guy?
That's what has us, like, if you're in the porn industry,
look at those guys, though.
In the porn industry, that's the always thing. It's a female, you know, driven, like, industry, but then, like, they're always like, yeah, but if you look at the guys, they're not hot at all or anything like that.
But you mean even if the guy were to pay you, I don't know how much, you know, sex is these days, but
that makes me wonder, like because you know you said there's that movie like Indecent Proposal. I always bet there's a bunch of celebrities out there who are just like who get people who are like, I'll pay you $1 million if I can have sex with you. But I bet they say no though, because it's like, well, it's worth more, right?
Yeah, I guess their career is worth more. But I listened to Dave Navarro's radio show a few months ago.
Yeah.
And he was talking about a couple of girls that he knows, and one of them he has like a big crush on. Apparently she's like a prostitute, and
apparently.
Yeah. Allegedly she's a prostitute, and
so Dave Navarro found love the prostitute?
Pretty much. And he said that like she's already getting paid like thousands to have sex with people, and a lot of these people that she's with are like really high end people, so I'm assuming that these are just like, for lack of a better word, like regular women that are probably really gorgeous women that are having sex with celebrities.
Yeah.
And getting paid like, I don't know how much, maybe like $5,000 a night.
To get hit their dreams to come true.
But it's like, but celebrities are paying them, you know, like,
yeah.
So this is like some high
so
level sex.
See, even celebrities can't, it's not easy for them to meet around.
Yeah,
get the girls of their dreams.
Because even if they like, even if, but also like, in a way, it's kind of messed up too that celebrities are paying that much for sex. Because it's like they could just find like, they could be like Vince from Entourage and just like find a girl working out at the gym and be like, that girl's pretty hot. I'll get her tonight. You know, like for free, you can pretty much get them. But like, anyway, but this girl that apparently I guess he hangs out with is
Is that the one that you sent me the website?
I don't know if that's... I don't even know. It might be. I don't... Who knows? He probably has lots of girls.
Dave Navarro probably does have, like, lots of girls.
But you never know. He could really like this one girl and be really into her now. So...
That's true.
I have a feeling he's the type of guy that probably likes a lot of girls. Like, there's no denying that he likes women, you know?
It's kind
of, he probably, like, looks at every girl, which is fine. I don't really have a problem with that. But I think he is the type of guy that, like, when he's with a girl, though, he'll be true to her.
Yeah.
So that's, like, I can respect that, though. You know? I don't think he would really cheat on anyone. Like, if he... And, but if he was, he would break up first, you know?
Yeah.
So, like, I respect that. If he rolls like that. But anyway... He was talking about how, like, he wants, this whole episode he was talking about how he wants to be, like, a sugar daddy. He was like, I actually want to be like that. And then, like, the other person on the show was like, why do you want that? So you're basically, like, paying to have, like, a friend, you know?
Yeah.
But he said he wanted to be in that
position.
Well, come
on, like, even in a relationship, like, you'd have the money will be spent, you know what I mean?
That's true, but, like, the impression I get of sugar daddies are, like... They really spend, like, a lot on a girl.
Yeah.
It's not just, like...
Like, all of it, basically.
Yeah, it's like, buying them, like, everything. It's not just, like, oh, here's, like, a meal occasionally. It's like, oh, I'm gonna buy you this purse, and here's a car, you know?
Yeah.
It's, like, gets to that high end. But, I don't know, I guess he wanted to try that lifestyle for a while. I don't know why he wants to, but...
I mean, he's surrounded by so many women as it is, anyway.
Maybe he just wants to be in that position because he's never done it before.
Yeah.
Maybe because he's like, you know, he's probably done everything else. So he's like, maybe I should be a sugar daddy.
Do you think Dave Navarro has like a whole lot of money just hanging out?
He might if he's been like taking care of it and he invests well and stuff.
That's what it's all about. It's investing, taking care of that money.
But it seems like he does, you know?
Yeah.
Seems like everything is upkept and I haven't heard any stories in the news about him... Like, low on money. Speaking of Brian Austin Green, I heard that he is low on money. Can't afford any house payments.
Mr. 90210, Sarah Connor, and two episodes of Smallville.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a tough place to live, though, right?
It is.
Mr. Megan Fox cannot find a place. Because what's Megan Fox doing right now?
Well, are they still together?
I don't know. I think the last I heard, they were together, right?
I have no idea.
I thought they got back together.
I don't know.
Megan Fox gives, like, funny-ass interviews. Or at least the interview I saw on David Letterman was funny. She's peculiar. She's a peculiar one, that Megan Fox.
I like how she just says whatever she says.
Yeah. She's peculiar.
She's all right.
Sort of like...
I don't have a problem with her.
It's one of those...
I'd like to actually see her, like...
In person?
Make it... Yeah, that would be cool to see her in person. But I like to see her actually, like, make it bigger than just, like, being the pretty face. Like, I'd like to see her, like, give a performance or something that I'm like, damn, she's, like, really good in that. You know, like, or not just her being like, I'm so pretty. Oh, so pretty.
I always wonder about that, but how would Megan Fox do that? Like, name someone that was the pretty face and then transitioned over.
I don't know.
Did Angelina Jolie really do that? Did she really transition? Because,
I don't
like,
know. Actually,
I didn't watch any
of
her.
Many of her
I haven't
movies,
seen her serious. Yeah, I haven't seen her serious stuff at all. There's the Changeling and...
I haven't seen any of that.
Is that what it is? The Changeling or Changing?
Channeling or something?
Whatever, the Pontani's rule.
I mean, I don't know. Like her just... I don't know. I want to see Megan Fox succeed. I would just like to see her do something else than just being like, look, I'm pretty. I know it's really hard. It's actually pretty hard.
It's like, I don't know. I'd like to see her act more.
Well, she's going to be in Jonah Hex.
Oh, yeah, that's right. She is going to be in Jonah Hex. So people will still be drooling over Megan Fox there.
Yeah.
She takes good photos, though, man. She can still just do really good modeling. So she has one of those faces that she just has to, like, look. In a certain direction. It's like she can be pissed off and it'll still look photographed
well. She can probably not bathe for like a week and then just like get out of bed and look good.
That's what that's what she said on David Letterman is that she's a hermit. She just stays in like a lot.
Seriously, you could probably just like she could probably just hang out.
It's because the lines on her face, man. It's like the lines, the way her face is structured is like you got those lips, the eyes cut a certain way, then straight hair. It's like, well, like, I can draw her face right now easily, and that would be it. Like, oh, look, there's Megan Fox. You know, like, it's like her face is really simple. You know what I mean? It's a simple face. She's simple face. Megan Fox is simple face.
But it's simple, but it's so much in a way.
Yeah, or is it?
I don't know.
It's not, though. It's not so much.
It's just, like, the simplified beauty
of it's stripped down beauty. It's like, that's one of those, that's like when you have, when you when supermodels try to act, it's like, well, it's kind of challenging now because it's not like you're, you have a lot of character in your face. You're paid to like just look beautiful, and that's like doesn't really have character behind that except beauty.
But I think Megan Fox has more than that, like just straight up like no character. Like, well, she has a character.
I'm hoping, I'm hoping that I'd like to see what that is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I hope so too.
And that's one of the things when you bring it back to like burlesque, compared to strippers who are just looking hot, but like in burlesque, there are characters in there, you know? Yes. That's what I really like, because you got the Megan Fox and then you got the Kate Blanchett's, basically. Mm-hmm. Those would be the two. That'll be the stripper or the burlesque. Like the ones with character and they can do more than one thing. The ones that can just look hot. That's how I'll divide the line right there.
Right there.
Right there. Or the Helen Mirren or what, you know what I mean?
It's the end of the line.
And that's what's cool thing about burlesque, I think, is also, I think burlesque, you can take it out, you know, and you can, because even Angie won Miss Cyclone and, you know, she can do more. You can do more with burlesque than you can do with stripping. How about that?
I think you can.
That's like the way of the world. And burlesque is on its way up, I think, or it's coming out a little bit more. But just like anything, it's going to have its different views.
Do you think that stripping will ever...
Oh, should we make a word?
Mainstream?
Should we make a word before it happens?
Do you think that stripping will ever become mainstream?
Stripping is mainstream. I'm sorry.
I don't think people, whenever they talk about it, though.
It's accepted if people are like, if people go like for their, before their weddings, if they go to strip clubs, it's mainstream.
Okay.
But burlesque is not mainstream. So it's almost more underground. It is. I'd say so. It's an underground show. That's awesome.
So the word of the day today, or this week, is burlesque. So email me at info@curls-studio.com.
That's right.
With the word burlesque.
First three people.
In there. And I will do a sketch for you.
Cool. And that's this week's show. I hope you enjoyed all of it. Sexy as hell. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Catch you all next week.
Be sexy.
I'm the kind of human wreck. Is that your love?